you talk a little bit about what Students Against War has in store for fall term this year?
Students Against War has lots of interesting initiatives planned this fall semester. We're really coming out swinging this September. We're starting off with our Books Not Bombs campaign, which is highlighting the attacks on our education funding paired with the increase in military expenditures. So we're moving from this campaign, trying to build up some support with students, trying to show them whose side we're really acting on. Moving into Learning to Resist, which is a day of resistance, a day of workshops. So this is acting to give students the tools to confront oppression and injustice and how to have some tangible effect on confronting those systems. So we have a great, great set of speakers lined up, and then we move from there into the federal fair, which is where our government is coming for the first time ever in this initiative of a federal fair to recruit students into the federal bureaucracy, which includes the military, all aspects of the military, as well as security and intelligence, and all sorts of bureaucratic assholes. So we want to have a presence there, and if not to disrupt that event, at least give students the other side of the story and make them recognize what they're going into.
As September rolls around, most students are buying books or binders or enjoying the last of summer's rays. Some students, however, are busy organizing a fall campaign against war and militarization. I asked members of Students Against War to talk more about Learning to Resist, a day of workshops to be held on UVic's campus on September 9th.
We're going to be hosting local speakers from mostly from BC, but a couple of speakers that aren't so local. The idea being to give students the tools they need to confront and resist injustice. To start the day off, we're going to have someone named Jordan Dennis. He's going to do a workshop on encrypting your digital communications so that CSIS has a harder time reading your emails, so the police have a harder time reading your emails, and just in general for your own personal privacy. We're going to be hosting David Cunningham, who's going to be hosting a workshop called The Politics of Disruption and the Politics of Escalation. On top of that, there's going to be Franklin Lopez, who'll be fresh off coming from the RNC and the DNC in the US. He's a huge indie media guy, author of the website www.submedia.tv. He's going to give a workshop on essentially shooting your own indie media, mixing it up and putting it on the internet. We're also going to have Zoe Blunt, who's big on the forest defense down here. Recently, she worked on the Bear Mountain campaign. I think there's a preconceived notion out there that the only acceptable tools to participate in democracy are going to your MP's constituency office or writing a letter. And I think it's important that, not necessarily to push it on students, but to inform them that there's other options to take your democracy for yourself, whether that be through civil disobedience or whether that be through more militantly confronting the state. There's a lot of ways out there to get your point across to the state and get what you want out of it.
Saturday, September 6th at Camosun College, the Lansdowne campus, from 11 to 7, the Guerrilla Arts Festival will take place. Can you guys talk a little bit about what it is?
Well, the Guerrilla Arts Festival is a celebration of cultural arts, community, and revolution. It is being organized by three student groups: Victoria Students for a Democratic Society, International Socialists, and Student for Free Tibet. It's going to be featuring a large number of wonderful local musicians, including Teddy Anderson, Hoop Dance, Get Up to Get Down, The Outspoken Wordsmiths, Chris Rozek, Smoothborough, and the Fernwood Five, and lots more. As well as interchangeably through this is discussions on different key social justice issues, including the Canada's role in Afghanistan and Iraq, the 2010 Olympics, war resistors, Jordan River, anti-capitalism, and much, much more as well.
Well, pretty much the idea is to get students out and having fun just before this classes start getting too stressful, but then also take the opportunity to open them up to different issues that are going on in the community and in the larger world as a whole, and hopefully get them informed about it, and then also connect them with the people in the community who are also working to affect these issues and to change them in a positive way. And so before they get too stressed out, they can make the contacts they need to be able to get involved. And we really believe that if students knew exactly what was going on and how they could actually play a part in changing it, then a lot of the larger issues like the Afghanistan war and the extension, the recent extension of it, wouldn't be taking place, or at least we'd be giving the politicians a lot more heat for it.
We want to provide students and the community with the tools to build their own resistance. We're not there to tell them this is the way that you can change your state or this is the way that you can overthrow your state, but we want to celebrate a revolutionary spirit that is growing in Victoria and that is growing all over the world. And we want to bring people together, because it is once that we come together, once that we show our solidarity, that the ideas take place, that the movement start, and that a revolution could happen.
Last year, Students Against War spearheaded a campaign to ban military recruitment on campus during career fair, and it became quite a big issue on campus. And on the day of the, it was put to a referendum, and on the day of the vote, Students Against War lost, and students overwhelmingly who showed up to vote that day decided that military recruitment should be permitted on campus. With that in mind, it's September, and you guys are sitting around here getting ready for your fall campaign. What are your thoughts on what happened last year, and what are your thoughts on what direction Students Against War is going to move to this year?
My thoughts on the whole campaign last year and why we lost is that unfortunately, right from the get-go, it got framed as a free speech issue, which I don't think it had anything to do with free speech. I think that the military still has lots of advertising space. There's bus stops all over campus that put up their what I would call propaganda. I think it's important to acknowledge that the media framed that as a free speech issue when it had nothing to do with that. That had to do specifically with the military being physically having a presence on campus. And I don't think that's acceptable. If we want to talk about free speech, okay, why can't we have the quote unquote bomb throwing anarchists that organize events like the WTO or any of the other umpteen marginalized political ultra left views on campus? Why is that not free speech?
The exercise of it was not a waste. You know, we learned a lot last year, and we're going to move on from that. You know, obviously we would have liked to see the vote go our way, but I mean, it just revealed what sort of environment we're working in, and we're dealing in an environment which is made up of bougie, uncritical, rich, you know, comparatively speaking, students who have a very naive notion of what the state is that we live in. And I myself, until I came to university and started engaging critically with these things, I was of that same sort of disposition up until about 2 or 3 years ago. So, I mean, this is a great time to confront students when they're, you know, opening up to dialogue and learning about these things. It's a great opportunity to, you know, voice this critical, you know, this critical voice.
And do you think that Students Against War is going to have support for some of the actions that are planned in the fall?
Absolutely. I don't think the issues are dead. I think that these issues are continually to resurge on campus, and you've got campuses working all over Canada on counter-recruitment. There's a counter-recruitment conference that's being organized in Ontario with their Ontario CFS is taking part in it. You see a lot of campuses that are continuously pushing these issues, and as long as that they're students and as long as that we're able to be active, we're going to be pushing these issues, holding not only the campus administration but our governments accountable for the actions they're taking against students and against our ability to speak out and be free.
And so why would you say that military recruitment should not be allowed on campuses? Or would you say that?
I don't think that military recruitment should be allowed on campuses. They're recruiting based on lies, based on propaganda, trying to spearhead students into a situation in which they're being forced to not only die for a lie, but to kill for a lie. They're not being provided with the correct information. You have military recruitments that are preying on impoverished families, that are preying on students that are unable to meet the raising tuition fees, the raising book costs, and who are desperate for a solution. So you've got these people basically picking on the ones that are unable to afford things in society and spearheading them into their own agenda.
Students are among some of the most marginalized sectors of society, whether it be getting raided through tuition fees or getting raided through the textbook ripoff. Education's overpriced, and it's there to maintain the right wing.
And why do you think that the military and CSIS and the police force are recruiting on campus?
Hitler had it right. I mean, he says the future is in the youth, and you know, we cannot deny that. For colonial Canadian state to reproduce itself into the future, it depends on reproducing that sentiment and that mentality amongst the aging population. And the way to do that is through institutions such as, well, everywhere from elementary school to high school, and at the university level, we see specialization. You know, I just noticed the other day they're teaching a course on corporate espionage, essentially. And so it's quite blatant, where the university fits into globalization, where it fits into capitalism, and where it fits into militarism. Basically, the choices that students are making here are affecting the world as a whole, and so we have to be very careful about what we are promoting. And if we're promoting a military which is inherently racist, is inherently patriarchal, and is inherently violent, and then we sit back and wonder why we have school shootings and things like this. I mean, if we really want to curb violence and oppression in our society, I mean, we should start on the campus, and we should start by limiting the access of inherently violent institutions.
So, what's your impression of the general image of Canada as an international peacekeeper?
I don't think that Canada is a peacekeeper. I think that especially Canada under Stephen Harper is becoming an increasingly warmongering country. We are following the United States in every single step that they take. Canada has lost their peacekeeping appearance to the rest of the world every time that we go in and we support Bush's war on the people and the wars that are being funded by corporations. We're going into countries, we're not going in there to provide any support to the people, we're not there to provide humanitarian aid. We are there to send soldiers to guard opium fields. We are there to send soldiers to guard pipelines. That's not protecting democracy, and it's not protecting the average person in these countries.
I think if we look at history of Canadian peacekeeping, you'll find that peacekeeping is often more like war making. We can look at examples such as the mission in Somalia, where soldiers attacked civilians. Or just look at the current example of what we're actually doing in Afghanistan, which is far from peacekeeping.
If we're peacekeeping in Afghanistan, why is the insurgency growing day by day? Why is it that new fighters are joining the insurgency day by day? Why is it that insurgents keep going to jail, but the insurgency doesn't disappear? Insurgents keep getting killed, but the insurgency doesn't disappear. Does this suggest that this is some kind of holy war or something like that? Or does this suggest that 14, 12, 13-year-old kids are watching their parents get killed by Canadian troops and then joining the insurgency out of anger, and righteous anger at that?
Any message to the UVic students who are studying out their year and listening to the Hidden News?
Yeah, I mean, let's not make this news hidden. This news shouldn't be hidden. You know, the fact that Canada is in Iraq despite the democratic wishes of Canadians shouldn't be hidden. What is going on in Afghanistan, which is censored by the intelligence aspects of our military, should not be hidden. You know, the real kind of Cold War environment that we're living in with these imperial powers playing out should not be hidden. So I would encourage students to open their eyes and their ears and their minds to these messages and get involved and be active. And when someone, tells you to write a letter or to complain or to be moderate in your standing, ask them that, when's the last time a letter changed something? When's the last time a petition changed something? Look up the sorts of actions and initiatives which have had a tangible effect, a tangible positive effect in our society, and do those things. So do what your heart and your mind tells you to do, but act, and don't be a passive participant and complicit in our government.